I particularly remember the service because I borrowed a red polka dot tie from another minister, a youth minister from Cincinnati. We later preached to their youth, actually. So in this little service, just a little room, probably about the width of what this center section is, and just packed to the hilt from front to back. And we were ministered. I don't recall what we ministered on, but a lady come forward, and she was blind, and she had been blind for 20 years. So as she stood in front of me, I don't know if you recall in the Gospels where Jesus spit, made spittle, and rubbed it on a blind man's eyes, and they saw. And so I heard these words, "Spit on her eyes."
Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Well, I'm a bit reserved, and I try to be polite. So I laid hands on her. And I heard spit on her eyes. So the first time I laid hands on her, she said, "I see light." And I heard that again. I heard spit. So I got up a good loogie and I spit in my hands. And I rubbed it all over her eyes. And she came forth seeing for the first time in 20 years. So, sometimes Jesus just wants to show himself strong. Amen. And we just need to just follow him. Amen. Obey the Lord. And so praise the Lord for that. Amen. God is the healer. Hallelujah. Another thing I should share, we're talking about healing tonight, but before I get into the word, I had a dream. I don't know if in some circles dreams are more emphasized, in our circles not so much, but I dream all the time. I have all kinds of dreams. In fact, I don't even prepare. Sometimes like a message, I'll know beforehand what I'm supposed to preach, maybe a week, maybe a month, sometimes 6 months. I'll know, I need to go into this church and I need to preach such and such. Sometimes it's requested, sometimes I just know. But if I don't know what to preach, I don't stress about it anymore on a Saturday night. I just go to sleep and sometimes it kind of pushes me, but many times I'll get a topic in the morning and just share what it is the Lord wants me to share. And sometimes it's through a dream that I'll share something. For instance, a month ago, I was in a church, and the pastor, a lot of times I don't like to hear what's going on in the church because, lots of things are going on in the church. But the pastor was so distressed and so upset, he began to share with me some things that were going on in the church and some difficulties he was experiencing. And sometimes, you're just there to be a listening ear and say, "It's going to be all right," But that night I had a dream, and in the dream, I heard these words. I heard myself saying this. It says, "Why is it when sometimes people leave a church, the church gets better?" Well, the next morning, the title of my message was, "How to Know When to Leave a Church." Ouch. Now, I will tell you this much. I went to the pastor first and said, "Pastor, this is what the Lord has shown me. Do you mind if I preach this message?" Because, we don't want people to leave a church. How many knows that? We want people to come to church. But we realize the church is a living body, and sometimes people come and people go, and you take nourishment in, and sometimes you have to, excrete. We're a living body. Amen. Now, I'm not saying, now, just every time a person leaves, oh, I'm getting into trouble now. This isn't on the tape, though. But sometimes people leave. It's legitimate reasons. You know, there's lots of legitimate reasons. People come and people go. That's just a church. The average church, 3 years down the road, it'll be a whole new congregation a lot of times. Different people. You know, but I was trying to explain all this in the message in a very, you know, palatable and receptible manner. And, I just have to say it turned out well, because that evening service, everybody came back in strength, which I was glad to know that. Although right after the morning service, a lady come up to me and said, a man come up to me and said, "Praise God, brother. That message just encouraged me, reminded me that I'm supposed to be in this church, you know, and thank God for it. This is where I'm settled. This is where I'm planted." And then another lady come up and said, "Praise God, brother. I appreciate that message. I know I'm supposed to leave this church." So I told the pastor both those situations, but that's, you know, that's kind of a unique situation where the Lord's given me a dream and shown me something to preach. And actually this morning, you know, how to give God the steering wheel of your life. I didn't really dream specifically about, but I just knew what I was supposed to preach in the morning. So that's what we... So all those 12 points, I came up with all those 12 points just this morning for you. Amen. Yeah, 12 points, oh my. Yeah. You know, I did that in 20 minutes. That's what I told my wife. I thought, wow. Anyway, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. We need the Holy Ghost. We need to hear from the Holy Ghost. And one of the challenges of what I do is having a word in due season. I mean, listen, I left Bible school and I figured I can preach three times a week for 8 years just on the material I received at Bible school. But that's not the challenge, having something to preach. The challenge is having the right thing to preach at the right time. Amen? So that's why sometimes, even when a church is having troubling times, don't cancel your evangelist. Don't cancel the guest speaker, because he might come in with a word that can help the situation. Amen? Especially if you don't tell him nothing. Amen? And you'll have just the right word. Because I see that many times where churches are kind of, you know, going through rocky roads, and the pastor will call it, "Listen, we just can't have you in right now. Things aren't working the way they should and doing the way..." Well, that may be the time you need the guy to come in from the outside. Amen? Anyway, I digress. We need to move on here. Amen. Don't forget our book table in the back. Don't forget partnership. We really need partners. You think after doing this for 25 years, I'd have 10 partners a year. Let's see, 10 partners times 25. That'd be 250. I don't have 250 partners that... every month when I send, to save money, I'll send my thank you notes with a bulk mailing stamp, but I have to add 50 or 60 people every month to add to the partnership. So we need partners. We need people to stand with us, believe with us, support us with their finances, and you're not going to miss $5, I guarantee it. You're not going to miss $10. But we have every month, you know, we have people... decide, you know, they need to do something different, and that's fine. Sometimes we hope to every month add a few partners, but I don't think I've ever had 5 partners in one church sign up. Wouldn't that be a nice first today? 5 of you just say, "Oh, we want to partner with you." Amen. I don't think I have in one church in one service had 5 people partner, but consider that. Partner with us. We will be praying for you. Gwen and I pray together. We pray for our partners. We will be sending you information. We'll be sending you teaching materials and information about our ministry and what we're doing, where we're going, that kind of thing. And And we need prayer partners. We need prayer people. We just do. You know, we need people that will pray for us and stand with us and believe with us. So consider that. And I can't think of anything else. Do you want to say anything tonight, honey? Or you still got the frog in your throat? You're good? Okay, go ahead and stand up and say something to people.
Well, it's good to be here again. And like Gary said, we do appreciate your prayers and your support. And I'm just going to add to what Pastor D said about Gary. We want to be able to get his head out the door, but he is pretty much what you see with Gary. He just, you know, he stands behind the word that he preaches, and whatever God tells him to preach, you can be assured that it's God.
Well, thank you, honey. I appreciate that. Amen. Let's see. I can't think of anything else. Believe with us. The name of our ministry is Reach the World, and our desire is to touch the nations of the earth. Amen. With our YouTube videos, check us out on YouTube. We've got about 100 pastor interviews that we've sat down and talked with pastors and just seen their heart and things. And we have just in October, we started a Holy Ghost forum talking about the gifts of the Spirit. So you can check us out online. Just look up Gary Bailey Ministries or Brother Gary Bailey. You'll find our YouTube videos. If you sign up for our email, we'll notify you when a new video comes out. But with all our videos combined, we've been doing this since 2014. We had a big gap this year. We didn't do any videos the first half of the year for the most part. But we've been seen in all 50 states by someone on YouTube, and 55 different nations people have seen our videos. So that's encouraging. Amen. And we're not anywhere near what some of the, I think the top YouTuber, some of you probably don't know what I'm talking about, but YouTube is a phenomena that is amazing. I mean, the average person can get his or her message out in a very inexpensive manner if you're just willing to do some of the work that it takes to get it out. But I think the top YouTuber sold his channel. And we're not talking about YouTube. We're just talking about one channel of millions of channels on YouTube. Sold his YouTube channel for $500 million. The second YouTuber sold their, or didn't sell it, but they generate an income of $13 million. Second. Now, we're not in it to generate funds. We're in it to reach people. But you know what happens is people translate into advertising dollars. That's how it all works, you know, at least on YouTube. And we're not interested in monetizing our site. I mean, maybe one time we will if it can be done in a discreet and helpful manner. But we don't, I mean, you have to have thousands and thousands of hits to do that. We've got, like, from our October video, we've got 206 people watching our video, which is a landslide to me. I mean, I'm amazed that anyone would set, and the average person watches like 30 minutes. And so that's a landslide. I mean, that's just amazing. Our November video, we've got well over 100 people that have watched our video. So that's amazing. But the potential is there to reach around the world. And if we can just keep putting it out, and there's some interest. If you go to our site, if you have a Google account, subscribe to our YouTube video, and you'll be notified of new videos. And some of you are saying, what's YouTube? I know. I mean, listen, in the last 10 years, we've got a whole new, we're living in a whole new world. It's just a different scenario, a different situation. But anyway, believe with us, stand with us. We want to touch the nations of the earth. Amen? We went to Africa this year. The plans are to go to India in 2014. We've run into some glitches. Our contact people just flew the coop, and We already had the tickets bought, so we're going to have to figure out what we're going to do with that and figure out what's going to happen. But, you know, our desire is to keep going, keep reaching, keep stretching. Amen? And Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's what we want to do, is go make disciples. We want to preach the gospel and let people know that Jesus is alive. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, and we're going to get into tonight's message. Amen. Somebody's on the war path, sounds like it. Stretch your hand up toward heaven. Father, we thank you for the living word of God. We thank you, Father, for your power and your presence and your anointing. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you'd show us wonderful things from your word this day. Lord, teach us by your spirit. And Lord, help us to receive all that you have for us, Lord. And we'll be sure and give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' matchless name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Turn to someone before you're seated and tell them, good to see your smiling face. Amen. Blessings. God bless you. Now, for those of you that may or may not know, this is going to be a healing service tonight. Amen? And I must have got a different train of thought here, but in Isaiah chapter 43, I want to go there real quick. Isaiah chapter 43. And in verse 8, I was talking about dreams. And the Lord, a few months back, gave me a dream. And I had these two references in my dream. I couldn't see. I was looking. Now, I don't know if you've ever done this. You've looked in a dream. You've looked at written material. And you just can't make it out. Has anybody experienced that? You're looking and trying to figure out, what does that say? But I saw the references, but I couldn't see what was written in the reference. So I woke up with Isaiah 43 and verse 8 and Isaiah 43 and verse 11. And this is what verse 8 tells us. It says, bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. You know, one of the greatest ministries in the Bible is the ministry of bringing. We see that people brought others to Jesus so that they could be healed. In Acts chapter 5, we see that the believers brought the sick into the street so that even the shadow of Peter touching them, they could be healed. Amen. And so when we think about our responsibility in seeing people healed, our responsibility is to get people to where they can hear the gospel. Get people to where they can be touched by the ministry of Jesus Christ. Because we see in verse 11, which was really powerful to me, here you bring the blind, bring the deaf. God says, bring them. And then he tells us in verse 11, I am the Lord. And beside me, there is no Savior. Beside me, there is no healer. Beside me, there is no deliverer. Amen? Boy, does that take the pressure off. Amen. I'm not here to heal you tonight because I have no healing in me or of me. Amen? Jesus is a healer, and there's a healer in the house, and his name is Jesus. And if you can receive from Jesus Christ himself, all we have to do is get the sick to him and he can do the job. Amen? That means when I lay hands on the sick, I'm not worried whether there's, you know, I have anything in me to bring blessing to you. Well, let's just settle it right now. I don't. The only claim I can have is I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And when I stretch forth my hand, he stretches forth his hand. When I open my mouth, he opens his mouth. Amen. He wants to walk in me and dwell in me. He wants to be my God and I'm his son. Amen. But when it comes to healing, I can't heal a fly. Neither can you. But we can make Jesus available to people, can't we? Amen. And we can bring people. I believe in this last days revival, people are going to wake up to the ministry of bringing.
Amen.
The ministry of bringing. Bring people to church. I didn't say invite people. I said bring people. Amen. It takes much more faith to bring people than it does to invite people. Now, the people that you invite, they say 6 out of 10 of them want to come. It's just that there's a devil out there and family that'll keep people from coming to church. You'll find out in life most of your problems will come from the devil and your relatives. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good. Amen. We just got through Thanksgiving. Amen. God bless the family. Amen. But we've got to, it's not just inviting people, it's bringing people. And this is what will have to happen. You're going to have to, if you invite someone and say, yes, I'll come to church on Sunday. Good, I'll be by to pick you up. Amen. So you show up at their door at 8 o'clock in the morning. Church is at 10 or 11. Amen. Knock on the door. They'll come in their pajamas, you know. Invite yourself in. Make sure they get to the bathroom, get showered, get their teeth brushed, pour their coffee, make their breakfast, you know. Get them dressed and straightened up, get their hair combed, and then get them out the door, shove them in the back seat of your car, and lock the door. Get them to church. Make sure they've got their bathroom breaks, their smoking breaks, their drinking breaks, every break they need. Then get them in the church service, get them set there, and don't let them leave till the service is over. Amen. Stay there right with them. You know, I noticed this morning a lady in the church had a couple young ladies next to her, and I'd be preaching, and they'd be talking and doing this, and they'd say, she'd be like, hey, listen to the preacher. Well, we know who that is. That's Ruth. But she's like, pay attention, pay attention. Sometimes you got to do that. Amen. But the ministry you bring, get them to church and keep them there and make sure they got all their breaks and all their things they need taken care of and keep their attention on the preacher and they just might get something. I mean, there's a dozen and one different ways the devil can distract people from receiving the Word of God. Because he knows that faith will come if they really hear it. It's so important to let people hear the Word. But I know in this last day's revival, move of God, a revelation is coming of the ministry of bringing. And we're going to get people to where they can hear the gospel. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now this evening I want to speak to you. We're going to pray for the sick. And aren't you glad Jesus is here to heal?
Yes.
Aren't you glad he's the only one and only Savior? He's the one and only healer. He's the one and only deliverer.
Yes.
Amen. Thank God for that. But the title of my message tonight is Reasons and Remedies. Reasons and remedies. Now, some of the things I'm going to talk about, people don't like to talk about because people don't like to take responsibility for their own shortcomings. We don't like to take responsibility for our own failures. We don't like to take responsibility for the things that hurt us. That's why people sometimes go to the hospital, they're hooked up to oxygen, you know, and they're smoking a cigarette on the way out of the emergency room. Because I want something that'll fix me, but I don't want to take responsibility for what broke me. Are you listening to me? Amen. Someone just told my wife today, he said, you need to minister to your husband. He's too fat. I take full responsibility. Amen. And I want this, you good people, to know I'm working on it.
Amen.
Amen. I'm working on it. Amen. Praise God. We're going to the Y 3 times a week, you know, when we can get there. And you're doing what you can do. Amen. Because I want to fulfill my call in God. Amen. I don't want to go to heaven early. How about you? But at least I have good sense to know it's not McDonald's that's my problem. I make the decision. Amen. Are you listening to me? So once you can determine what the problem is, what the reason is, God can then give you a remedy. Amen. But don't look for a remedy until you've understood why you have the problem. Does that make sense to anybody? Now, ultimately, sin and Satan have brought disease and suffering to this world. But thank God he sent his word and healed them. Amen. Who did he send? Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And thank God he sent that Word, Jesus, to us so that we can receive help and deliverance. Amen. You know, sin came on the whole world because of Adam and Eve's disobedience. And because of the obedience of one man, Jesus Christ, deliverance and help and healing and salvation has come to mankind, has come to humankind. Amen. So we know ultimately, listen, sin and sickness and disease, it's the result of sin coming on the earth and the result of men following Satan. But the Bible tells us this in Proverbs 26 and verse 2, as a bird by wandering and the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. The curse causeless shall not come. What I'm endeavoring to get across to you here this evening is that there is a reason sickness comes into a person's life. There is a reason difficulty and trouble comes into a person's life. And along with the reason, if we can understand the reason, we can understand the remedy. Amen? We can understand how to fix it. Ultimately, sin and Satan is the problem. Ultimately, Jesus Christ is the answer. But we need to deal with in specifics in our lives. Amen? So the curse causeless shall not come. In other words, there are reasons for sickness and disease in our life. You know, and we get it all mixed up sometimes. You know, you see a family has cancer. Mom and dad had cancer. Grandma had cancer. And we've somehow determined that it's hereditary, you know, that the children are going to have cancer. Or the granddad was an alcoholic, the dad was an alcoholic. Lo and behold, the son ends up an alcoholic. Well, what's the reason for that? And we think, well, it's in the genes. But before it got in the genes, it came because somebody opened a door. And someone yielded to something they shouldn't have yielded to. Are you listening to me? Now, the good news is, as Christians, at any point, you can break that trend in your family. Now, it may take a time for you to stand and stand strong and stand tall, but if you'll stand, You can break it so that your children aren't subject to it. I have an evangelist friend, Ted Shuttlesworth, who his daddy was an alcoholic. And he got delivered from alcoholism. And all his sons are preachers and his grandsons are preachers today. Amen? None of his sons are drinking. Isn't that good news? Amen. I have a friend, everybody knows who Rodney Howard Brown is. Well, I have a friend named Gil Howard Brown. And Gil has a brother named Rodney. And also, it's another South African name, begins with a B. Anybody know Gil? And anyway, Gil and I talk on the phone. And I asked him one time, how did you guys get into Christianity, become Christians? How did that happen in your life? He said, well, this is what happened. They lived in South Africa. And I'm trying to think of that other brother's name. Anyway, William Branham came to South Africa and ministered in the 50s. And Gil Howard Brown and Rodney Howard Brown, their dad, went to that crusade. And when he came back from that crusade, he never drank again, he never smoked again. And he got his family in church, and today you have Basil is the third guy. That's a herb, isn't it? Or a herb. Basil, you're a herb. No, he's a Basil. Anyway. So, Basil and Gil and Rodney are all preachers today. Because their father got born again. And he stopped the curse in its tracks. Amen. Got his family in church. Got his family serving God. Got his family living for God. And Rodney, in turn, because of the ministry of William Branham, who ministered to one man in South Africa that stood amongst thousands of others in a crusade, got delivered from sin and Satan and the power of the devil. And they went on, and they're ministering to thousands in the U.S. Amen. So Rodney is the youngest brother. Gil's in the middle, and Basil's the oldest brother. And Gil and I talk back and forth, and he told me that's how his family got into the things of God. So they stopped the curse. They broke the power of the devil over their life, and they got on the right track. No more alcoholism, no more smoking, no more sinning, just living for Jesus. Amen. You and I have to put a watch on our life. Don't open yourself to sin, because you not only open yourself, you open those that you influence in your life to bondage. You can impact your children. You can impact your grandchildren. Are you listening to me? So we need to pay attention to our lives. Live a holy life. Shun the wrong and do the right, because it'll impact your entire family. You know, I was flirting some things one time and just discouraged about ministry and discouraged about things. And a voice spoke to me, found out it was the voice of God. He said, you know, it can be worse. It can be worse. And shortly after that, I couldn't talk. I literally couldn't talk. Went to a neurosurgeon. I was talking to my wife, trying to get my words out. And she said, you're going to the doctor. And so I went to the doctor, went to a specialist. They got their books out and looking through. And he brought his assistant in. And they said, what did they say I had? Dystonia, that's right. They said, you've got dystonia of the mouth. of all places, for a preacher to be paralyzed. And it's an involuntary control of the muscles. Dystonia is an involuntary, like someone that does this, like that, that can be a dystonia. Or someone that just, you know, just does one of these, that can be a dystonia. It's a neurotransmitter thing. And with me, ukuntuk. So, made it hard. And long story short, I decided, listen, there's a problem. I need to find the reason for the problem, get rid of that reason, and then find a solution. Amen. So my niece was getting married, and our daughters, we were out visiting my mother. We were going to go to the wedding the next day, and we got up there early enough to go to an evangelist miracle service. And so my oldest daughters said, "Come on, Dad, we're taking you to the evangelist." And so we got to a church service and got there just in time for the prayer line. And I went up and stood in front of the evangelist. He says, "What's your problem?" "You couldn't talk." And he prayed, "Yay!" It's pretty close to just like that. And I came back to my mother's house. That thing was gone. Amen. But that's not all that happened. Because in finding out the reason, you know, if there's any problem on our part, the greatest sin that takes place in our lives is a lack of love. A lack of discerning the body of Christ. And so I got all the information together I could on love. I preached on love the whole year. Studied love the whole year. And tried to fix any lacking places in my life that was lacking love. Are you listening to me? You know, some of you think, well, you know, I need more power and I need more anointing. No, what you need to do is the dishes. Well, what's that have to do with power and anointing? My oldest daughters were running around, you know, and my wife's in the kitchen doing the dishes. We didn't have a dishwasher at that time. And, you know, I do my thing and I come home and just plant myself on the couch in front of the television. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "You want greater anointing?" "Yeah, Lord, that's what I want." He said, "Do the dishes." What does that have to do with anointing? Everything in the world. It has to do with the love walk. It has to do with looking out and being concerned for someone else. Are you listening to me? So I got up and did the dishes a few times, then I bought her a dishwasher. Amen. But the point is, sometimes it can be an easy fix if you'll just obey the Lord. Amen. But the Lord spoke to me. He said, "You want a greater anointing? You want great power in your life? Then you need to increase your love walk." Are you listening to me? All of us need a greater revelation of the love of God. Now, I want to give you, I've got here 8 or 9 reasons why things happen. Why things happen. And praise God. The reason for a message like this is so that you can locate yourself and say, "Well, you know, I maybe need help in this area." Okay? It's not for condemnation. It's not to upset you. But listen, folks, until you get honest with yourself and say, "I have a problem and there's a reason for the problem." All right? It's kind of like AA. Until you admit you got a problem, you can't get it fixed. You know, sometimes we people in the faith movement, we don't want to admit anything's wrong. But the fact of the matter is, if you want help, you're going to have to acknowledge your need. The first reason for sickness and disease and conditions in our life is a lack of knowledge. Hosea says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Did you hear that? What you don't know can hurt you. You can talk to the IRS about that. They don't, you know, you don't know? That's not my problem. That's yours. There's a lot of things when it comes to the law. A lack of knowledge will hurt you. And here he doesn't just use the word hurt or harmed. He uses the word destroyed. You can be totally obliterated by a lack of knowledge. You know, which wire to cut, the red one or the green one? You know, which button to push? It can make a difference. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge, and I also will reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. A lack of knowledge can hurt us in a big way. So if you want healed, the first thing to do is educate yourself on whether healing is available today. You know, a lot of people are just simply sick because they don't know God's their healer. They don't know Jesus as a healer. They don't know it's even available. I'm telling you, there are thousands of churches in the world that will not go come to God for healing because they don't know it's available. And some of it's not wrong knowledge. Some of it's just simply the lack of knowledge. Number two, a lack of vision. Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Amplified version says, where there's no redemptive revelation, the people perish. But you know, there's something to be said about having something to do. Having a vision in front of you. I can't tell you, you know, when I was a senior in high school, and then when I came back from Bible school, I worked at a dairy, a processing dairy. And the guys would sit around and talk, you know, and they're talking about retirement. I got this many years till retirement. Got this many years till retirement, you know. And then you find out, you know, the guy bought him a little cabin down in West Virginia. And 2 years later, he's dead on his front porch. The only vision they ever had was getting to retirement. And it's amazing the number of people that you see that just have nothing else to look forward to but retirement. If you want to live beyond 65, you better have a vision for something beyond 65. Are you listening to me? Where there's no vision, the people perish. Have something to do. You know, you got to have a reason to get up in the morning. Amen. I mean, I'm happy to have a reason to live. You know, there's a missionary friend of mine. I just actually spoke to him. I hadn't spoke to him since 81. And I was talking to him about this India situation. And he was in an airplane one time. You know, he's riding on India Air. And back in the early 80s, you know, baling wire and rope, you know, they tied those things together with. And so they're going along, had a total instrument failure. And he's in the plane. This plane is going down. And he just stood up and declared. He says, this plane can't go down. I have a job to do. I need to reach India. And the plane's going down. Boop. The lights came on. The engine came on. And they fly on. Amen. Amen. You need a purpose in life. And I tell you, there's nothing like having a purpose that will get you up and going. Amen. I had a fella just about a month ago came up in a healing line. We had a healing service. And he came up to me and said, I want healed of my arthritis. You know what I told him? I said, God's not going to heal you until you get up and walk. He said, I told him, you're spending too much time in your easy chair. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good. Easy chairs are nice, but if you're not going to walk, what's the point of you getting healed? you may as well just stiffen up like a board and sit there. But if you're going to walk and you're going to move around, God wants to, listen, even doctors will tell you, you got to move around. If you want to get relief from arthritis, move. Amen? You know, the Bible has another way of saying it, use it or lose it. Are you listening to me? Sometimes, you know, if we want healing, we've got to show God. You know, people come up, I want a healing anointing. For what? So you can watch more Joyce Meyer on television? What do you need a healing anointing for? What do you need it for? If you're going to sit at home and watch television. Again, don't shout me down. Amen. Healing ministry, anointing, healing is so you can go out and be a blessing to the world. Amen. So you can fulfill your purpose in God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. I know a preacher, you know, a lady, this young girl stood in front of the preacher and this is back in the days when dancing was kind of frowned upon. It was very worldly and fleshly I forget what was wrong with the girl, but the preacher asked the young lady, it said, what are you going to do if you get healed? She said, I'm going to go out and dance. He said, well, go on out of here then. God's not going to heal you. God's not running a charity hospital. God heals you for a reason. He heals you for purpose. He heals you for vision. Amen. You know, he wants you to go out and fulfill the Great Commission. And listen, if all we're doing is living for ourselves, there's no healing in that. There's healing in being a blessing to other people. And people have found that. You know, they've decided, people dying of deadly diseases decide, well, I'm going to do something good for someone else. And as they're out there doing good for someone else, God heals them. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Number three, another reason for sickness is lack of discernment. What do I mean by that? I'm talking about 1 Corinthians 11:20 and verse 29. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, there's two aspects to this discernment the Lord's talking about. He's talking about discerning the fact that Jesus bore our sickness and carried our pain. But he's also talking about us being aware of others that are around us. Are you listening to me? God wants you to walk in love and respect towards the body of Christ. I would say, within the church, this may possibly be the number one reason that people die prematurely and die of sickness, is because they're not walking in love towards their brothers and sisters. I'd say that possibly this is the greatest reason. So it's so important to value the people around you, to condescend to men of low estate, come down where they are, to esteem others better than yourself, to lift up people around you. You know, when we have it's funny the perspective you have. I started out in the ministry, preached my first sermon at 17, went to Bible school at 18, and was involved in planting a church at 19. It's funny the perspective you have then compared to 35 years later. And you begin to see the whys, why things happen. You know, you see divorce happen. You see sickness. But you see people die early. And you see one thing after another. And then, you know, I have opportunity to interact with people in the church again and again and again. And you begin to see patterns. And you begin to see, you know, gosh, that person's dead in their 50s. That person's divorced from his wife. That person is out of the ministry. And you begin to see patterns. And I tell you, one big reason is people aren't loving enough on each other. They're not respecting one another enough. And I'm telling you, it goes right over people's heads. Whew. Whew. What's the problem? Well, you didn't take time to minister to this one. You didn't take time to talk to this one. You didn't take... You know, I had an older minister. I was so blessed and fortunate to be around older ministers. And, you know, young and brassy and brash, you know, you don't have time to talk to this one. You know, I just want to talk to you. You just kind of ignore them and walk your way. And there's some people you need to ignore on purpose. You know, they need ignoring. But there's others that God will hold you accountable for ignoring them. And I remember I'm talking to this minister, and you know, he's very kind, very sweet, and he told me afterwards, he said, "You need to listen a little better." Well, my wife had been telling me that for 20 years. Amen. You know, God talks to you and you don't even know he's talking to you. He's just using your wife to talk to you. But you ain't listening. Amen. Amen. That's something to think about, isn't it? Lack of discernment. Let's discern the body of Christ and understand they need love, they need care, they need respect. And I'll tell you, a little bit of respect and honor goes a long way. Number four, a lack of faith or continuing faith. Jesus said to Peter, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." It's one thing to have faith for healing. It's another thing to have faith for healing when sickness hits you. You know, it's amazing how strong our faith is when nothing's going wrong. But the moment something happens, you know, I've seen it with people. I mean, bless God, God's my healer. Then they get sick. Well, maybe he's trying to teach me something. Well, maybe I've done something. Maybe God just doesn't want to heal me. Maybe he's teaching me a lesson. Wait a minute. What happened to that faith you were talking about before? It's not enough just to have faith. You got to continue in faith and keep believing no matter what the circumstances are. We walk by faith, not by sight. We call those things that be not as though they were. Amen. They can nail the coffin down and I'll still be shouting, "I'm healed, I'm healed." That's the resolve you have to have in faith. Amen. Well, what happens if you die believing God? At least I died believing God. I didn't die in unbelief. I didn't die in fear. I died thanking God for my healing. Amen. Praise God. That's how it ought to be. You say, well, what if you didn't get healed? As a Christian, there's no downside to it, that's for sure. There's no downside to going to heaven. Amen. Amen. But in this life, you have to continue. You just have to continue. You know, some people are just so ornery, they just, you know, the devil just going to give up on you. You know, John Osteen's mother was diagnosed with MS. And she just said, "I'll not have it." And she didn't. Amen. Amen. Sometimes you just got to determine that you're not going to have some things. You know, it's amazing the things that you put up with, how much God and the devil will let you carry. You want to hold on to it? Hold on to it. Otherwise, believe God. And hold on to healing. Hold on to faith. Hold on to the things that rightfully belong to you. Can you say amen? Healing is the children's bread. He sent His word and healed you. He's taken sickness out from the midst of you. He's told you, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. He said Himself, bear our sickness and carried our pains. He said, with His stripes you are healed. Amen. He said it over and over and over and over again. The leper came to Jesus and said, if you will, you can be made whole. And Jesus said, I will, for him and for everybody else that would come to him. Continue in faith, believing. Faith can fail. You know it can. Faith can fail. Peter is out of the boat, walking on the water. Winds, I mean, it could have been calm seas. But the winds were blowing, the waves were boisterous. And the Bible says he looked at the wind, you know, he heard the winds, he saw the waves. Could someone please tell me what that has to do with Peter walking on water at that point? I mean, calm seas or rough seas, you're walking on water, Peter. Had absolutely nothing to do with him walking on the water. But he started look. He took his eyes off Jesus, started looking at the waves, and he began to sink. And Jesus reached out his hand and said, oh, ye of little faith. And he probably looked at back at the ship and said to the others, and you guys that have no faith, because none of you got out of the boat, at least you got a little bit of faith. And thank God Jesus will be right there to help you up and spur you on. But faith can grow weak. So you need to strengthen your faith, encourage your faith, boister your faith, undergird your faith. Do whatever it takes to continue to have strong faith. Amen. Amen. Feed your faith, starve your doubts to death. It's one thing to hear a healing message one time, but if you're dealing with a disease or some sickness, you need to get just bury yourself in the Scripture. Encourage your faith and strengthen that faith and whatever it takes, keep your faith going. Four reasons. Number one, lack of knowledge. Number two, lack of vision. Number three, lack of discernment. Number four, lack of faith or continuing in faith. Number five, unbelief. Now, I want to explain myself here because a lot of people think lack of faith is unbelief. Lack of faith is just what it is. It's a lack of faith. Unbelief is something else. Faith has to come into your life. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But the Bible tells us that unbelief has to go. So unbelief is something separate from a lack of faith. Well, what are you talking about? What I'm talking about is unbelief can be two things. It can be a lack of knowledge, but it can also be unpersuadableness. You know, there's some people that are just convinced that God doesn't heal today, and they won't even look to God for healing. Because, you know why? They've been taught wrong. They've got wrong doctrine. Wrong doctrine is a manifestation of unbelief. And sometimes it takes, listen, the faith comes by hearing, but unbelief goes by prayer and fasting. Are you listening to me? How can you? The best way I can describe it is this: if you have a pitcher that you're pouring water into, and then you say, oh, "Good, I've poured cleared, fresh, clean water into this pitcher. Why don't you have a drink?" You look in the pitcher, and it's full of murky, black, gooey junk. I'll pass on that. What do you have to do? Get rid of the ooey, black, gooey junk. That's the unbelief. Then pour faith into it. Pour something clean and fresh and pure into it. And then take a drink. It'd be much more satisfying than drinking it with the ooey, black goo. Do you get the illustration? So unbelief has to come out of our life. How does it come out? By prayer. Sometimes by repentance. Sometimes, Lord, just give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Help me to see things the way you see them. You know, I'm still working on things. We all are working on things. But when I grew up in a church that, I don't know how I got this. I just don't know how I picked it up. But I picked it up. Because there were doctors that went to my church. There were lawyers. There were business people. There were educated people, college graduates. But somehow I thought it was spiritual to drive around in a car that was tied together with baling wire. I thought, you know, to be more spiritual, you know, nothing wrong with being poor. And I was happy to be poor, you know. And guess what? I drove a car that was tied together with baling wire. You know, the one door rusted out. Remember, we had to get a blue door. We had a nice red car with a blue door. It was a Chevy Monza. Anybody that knows anything about those aluminum block engines know I ran the oil completely out of that car and still ran it for 3 more years. And I changed the engine in it. That engine, I think, lasted for about a week. I drove it to the mechanic, and I didn't have the money to pay for it, so I just gave it to him. I'm sure he was pleased. The next car we bought, I paid $500 for it, but bought it from a car lot, but had to pay $150 to get the frame welded before I bought it. We drove that car all the way out to Indiana, didn't we? What I'm trying to tell you is I believed in prosperity. By that time, I'm confessing for a better car. I mean, you drive something like that for a while. Lord, what do I need to do to believe in prosperity? Because I want to believe in it now. Listen, folks, you need prosperity to get the gospel out. Amen. You better believe that God wants to give you something or you ain't going to have nothing. And we need to believe God that God wants you healed and healthy. Amen. Amen. You can't believe this junk. It says, well, God wants me sick for a reason. You know, God wants me sick. He put me in the hospital so I could witness to the roommate. Oh, dummy, why didn't you just go to the hospital and visit someone while you're well? Why'd you have to wait till you broke your leg? Amen. God broke my leg so I can get in here and win this person to Jesus. Well, if it takes you a broken leg every time you witness to someone, I don't know how much use you're going to be to the kingdom of God. Amen. What's next? I mean, you can only break things so many times. You know, I don't know. You know, none of us here is Evel Knievel. He broke every bone in his body. You know, how many bones does God have to break until he gets you to obey him to go visit someone? And witness to someone. Amen. Amen. Get rid of that junk. You know, God don't have to make you sick to help someone else or get you into the plan of God. Just decide to get in the will of God. You know, a lot of you ought to be repenting right now. Lord, I repent. Get me in position. I don't need no sickness to get me in position. I'm not going to be up here and tell you God can't use your sickness and use your problem and use your situation to get you in line. But wouldn't it be just much better to get you in line without all the pressing and the pushing? Amen. You know, he can use, you know, F.F. Bosworth has said this in his book, he can use a sickness or a disease as a harness to get you back where you're supposed to be. But once you're back where you're supposed to be, get rid of the sickness. Now, that doesn't mean he brought the sickness or gave you the sickness. I'm just saying he can use that in your life to bring you to repentance. He did me. You know, I'm moving along and discouraged and disgruntled and fussing and complaining. And the Lord said it could be worse. And it got worse. And so now I'm scrambling to make it better. Amen. Amen. So, unbelief, get it out of your life. It might take some some praying, extra praying. It might take some extra fasting. It might take just you pressing into God and making, doing something a little more to find out, God, what do you want to do in my life to bring healing? But unbelief will definitely bring hindrance in your life. Number six, fear will leave an open door to sickness. Matthew, again and again, Jesus exhorts in his ministry to people, fear not. Fear not. Fear you not, therefore, you're of more value than many sparrows. You know, God wants you to realize that you're precious and valuable to him. He wants you to know that you're worth being healed. Amen. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, what situation you're in. God places a value on your life so much so he wants to bring healing and restoration to your life. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 50, he says, but when Jesus heard it, he's going to minister to a man's daughter who had died. And they heard, don't trouble the master any further. The damsel's dead. But he answered him saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. If we're not careful, fear can take the place of our faith. And so we need to get rid of fear in our life and trust God that he's there to care for us and take care of us. He loves you, folks. He loves each one of us. But fear can definitely hinder God's working in our life. Job said it this way, the thing that I feared has come upon me. Luke chapter 12 and verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God wants to give you good things, but you can't allow fear to keep you from it. Listen, some of you, God wants to give you a job, but you got to get out there and meet somebody. Get on the phone and talk to somebody. You know, fear can keep you from getting a lot of good things, you know. If you're 50 years old and you're a virgin, it'll keep you from finding the right person. Are you listening to me? Fear is a huge problem. But knowing that God loves you and God cares for you will eradicate fear in your life, won't it? Amen. Thank God. You know, we have a God who loves us and cares for us and is looking out for us. We have a Father who cares for the birds. He knows when one hair falls from your head. And he loves us so much. If we could get this through our head and get away from, well, what if I've done something? Listen, we've all done things. Don't let fear keep you from going on into the presence of God. Number seven, sickness can come from just simply a satanic attack. You live in a world where the devil roams about seeking whom he may devour. Sometimes the sickness, the problem in your life is just an attack of the devil. The Bible literally calls, now this is what you have to know about the devil. The devil is not a pawn in God's hands. The devil is not an instrument in God's hands. God is not using the devil to bring perfection in your life. The devil is simply the enemy of God. And he's your enemy. And that means anything the devil brings is contrary to God's plan and purpose. And we see in the book of Job that sickness is a captivity. We see in Luke chapter 13 that sickness is a bondage. He talks about a woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound for 18 years. And in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Sickness, there's nothing good in it. There's nothing good that comes from it. It's absolutely from the devil. The Bible clearly tells us sickness is a captivity, sickness is a bondage, and sickness is an oppression, all from the enemy. So realize, living in the world, you can be subject to the things of the world. And it can be accidental. You can stumble into it. Just realize the devil is, he's the author of sickness and disease. He's the author of sin. The Bible tells us that. Which leads us to the next reason, number 8, sin. Now, you can't attribute every sickness in your life to you missing it. Sometimes it's just a satanic attack. Sometimes it's a lack of knowledge. Sometimes it's just you giving up. You know, you haven't continued in faith. Sometimes it's wrong thinking in your life and unbelief in your life. But sometimes it's just you just did wrong and you need to straighten up. Are you listening to me? Amen. Don't blame anyone else if you have a sexually transmitted disease. But I'm telling you, God will even heal that. He's healed people of AIDS. He's healed people of you know, the long list of STDs. But you got to repent. And you can't keep living the same way. Are you listening to me? I mean, honest to God, if you want to keep having sex with whores and prostitutes and then expect to be healed, don't shout me down now. It's not going to work. Amen. That's kind of rough talk for the church. But listen, church people get into problems, get into trouble because you live in a flesh and blood body. Let me tell you something about your flesh. It's the same flesh I have. And it all stinks. And it all tends towards sin. And if you let your flesh do anything it wants, you're going to be in a garbage bin someplace. But the good news is this. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Isn't that good news? Have you sinned in your life? Have you missed it? I believe one reason we're all sitting here is we all know we've missed it at some point. We all need a Savior. And none of us are perfect. And you might just miss it tomorrow sometime. But thank God the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. If you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. If you sin tomorrow, confess it tomorrow, He'll cleanse you and He'll help you. He wants you to come out on top. Amen. He wants you to be free and walk free from every sin. There's a man at the pool of Bethesda that Jesus came by, laying there for about 30 years. And Jesus grabbed his hand. He said, Jesus asked him, why are you here? He says, well, no one can put me into the pool when the angel comes by. And Jesus grabbed his hand and said, rise up and walk. He walked away healed by the power of God. Jesus saw him a little later, and the Bible tells us this. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple. I believe he's probably worshiping God there. Amen? Worshiping God in the temple. Thanking God that, you know, hey, if I had to lay down by the Susquehanna for 34 years, and all of a sudden someone comes by and says, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. You know where I'd be the next day? I'd be in church or looking for a church. That's where I'd be. I'd say, enough of this laying down by the Susquehanna. Behold, this is what Jesus said. He found him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more. That's what Jesus said. If we didn't have the ability and power in our lives to overcome sin, he wouldn't have told us to sin no more. Sin no more, lest what? Lest a worse thing come upon you? Now you got to ask yourself this question. What could be worse than laying by a pool for 30 years? Things happen, folks. Jesus said, don't sin, don't open yourself, don't open the door, don't give place to the devil. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Give no place to the devil and cast the devil out. Amen? That's the only thing you need to know about the devil. Those are the three things you need to do to him. Amen? Resist him, cast him out, and give him no place. Number 9. Reasons that sickness come. Opportunity to show forth the works of God and bring God glory. That's a kind of a, maybe a confusing reason. But listen, there's sickness in the world and Jesus was manifest to bring deliverance. Sin and sickness are caused by the devil. And there's multiplied opportunity for God to heal and bring deliverance. In John chapter 9 verse 2, his disciples ask him saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents? He's talking about a man who was born blind. And they're looking for a reason. And Jesus said, you're barking up the wrong tree. It's not because anybody sinned here. It's just the fact sin is the world and I've come to give deliverance. He said, who sinned that this man was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Listen. One great reason that God wants to heal in these last days, he just wants to show himself alive. He wants to show himself strong. He is the remedy to all sickness and disease. He's the remedy to every problem. And he's looking to manifest himself and bring healing. Can you say amen? Praise God. Reasons and remedies. Don't keep yourself in the dark. Don't fool yourself. Don't lie to yourself. Be honest. You know, if there's things you need to straighten up in your life, straighten up. Some of the greatest results I've had in my healing services is just calling for people to repent before they come up and get prayer. Amen. If there's adjustments that need to be made, make the adjustment. We gave you some knowledge today. If you're kind of waning in your faith, determined, bless God, I'm going to just continue to trust God. Maybe you've had a disease, debilitating disease for years. God's healing power is available to you today. People with cancer, people with heart disease, people with diabetes. God's healed all those kinds of people. Sometimes they've gone for years with pain, years with sickness. And in one fell swoop, God comes in and heals. Are you ready to receive from him? Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for the living word of God. We thank you, Father, that healing is the children's bread. And Lord, whatever the reason may be, we know that the devil, Satan, comes just to steal and kill and destroy. But thank God you are manifest to give us life, to give us healing, to bring blessing to us, to give us life more abundantly. And Lord, we pray for each one here, Father God. Any bondage of the devil in their life, we break its hold in Jesus' name. Every lie of the devil, we break those lies over their lives in Jesus' name. And we speak deliverance. We speak healing to each body here in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we thank you that we receive from you. Just lift your hands up right now. And receive healing from him right now. If the Lord is bringing anything up in your life, maybe discerning the body of Christ. How are you treating your brothers and sisters? Are you walking in love? I tell you, God will heal you on credit. If you determine and say, God, I'm going to make it right with that person, he'll heal you based on that. Maybe you need to forgive somebody. Maybe you just need to get straight with somebody's straight in a relationship, whatever it might be. Do what you need to do right now. Right now, wherever you're at, just straighten it out. If God brings anything to you, if there's nothing, there's nothing.